There's more to wake you up on a Friday if you are just becoming cognizant of the world and opening one eye, and then you hear this music and you think, oh, stop it. Why is it so loud? Or maybe, just maybe, you're already up and out and about and just desperately sucking down that coffee, mainlining it. That's what I do. In fact, sometimes it's the coffee that gets me out of bed. Now I'm waking up in the afternoons. Still, though, the coffee is critical. Whatever your state right now on this Friday morning, first of all, it's a Friday. So happy Friday to you. Second of all, it's a football Friday. So eek, even more so. But there is some sobering news to pass along. If you didn't stay up to watch the second half of the Thursday night football game on Amazon Prime, or if you didn't tune in at all, maybe you haven't seen the headlines, it went from bad to worse for the Dolphins very quickly. It's a loss to a division opponent in lopsided fashion. If all they play is the first 2.5 quarters, well, it's bad enough that the Dolphins did not look prepared. Tua and his receivers were out of sync. Not a whole lot of work for Tyreek Hill. Got stuffed a couple of times on fourth downs. The turnovers bit him in the rear. The Bills defense had their way and extended their dominance against the AFC East, but specifically against Miami, having won now 12 out of 13. So that's bad enough. But a loss is a loss is a loss. In week number two, especially with a team that has so many veterans and has the potential like the Dolphins do, well, I mean, you're not going to freak out about a loss in week number two. It's bad, but there's still plenty of real estate to go. But a loss is a whole lot more than a loss when you suffer a major injury. It becomes brutal when it's your starting quarterback. But it's far worse even than that when your starting quarterback is Tua Tagovailoa, and we're talking about another head injury.
Tua out of the shotgun, back to throw, looking, pressure, he's going to run with it at the 8-yard line.
Got it.
Puts his head down and gets bounced down at the 6, and he looks dinged, Joe.
Oh, boy. Jimmy had to run, he wasn't sure, so instead of sliding once he got there, he picked up a couple extra yards. It's a great effort, but boy, this is not good.
No, it's not. Skylar Thompson, the third-year quarterback out of Kansas State, a former seventh-round pick.
I don't know if he took a helmet-to-helmet or a knee to the head. We couldn't tell from where we are.
Well, their personnel is out there checking on him.
That's the call on the Dolphins radio network. I appreciate that at that point they really couldn't tell exactly what was happening. Unfortunately, though, Tua already had the first down. It was a 4th and 4, I think, in a scramble inside the red zone. The Red Sea parts. He scrambles up the middle. He gets across. Well, they don't see the yellow line. He gets past the marker. He's got the first down. But after all the work that Tua has done to protect himself, to learn how not to get hit, inexplicably, instead of sliding, he stretches out, he lowers his head as DeMar Hamlin is coming in, not directly at him, kind of off from the side a little bit, but his head goes right into DeMar's stomach, and you can see the compression, just the angle of his head, and of course the fact that you've got two players that are coming in at high speed. DeMar didn't look like he was coming in at full speed, though. He didn't go directly at him. Like I said, he was coming in from a different angle. It probably could have been worse. But with Tua's history and the fact that he has at least 3 diagnosed concussions going back to 22, we're talking 2 years. I know this is the 3rd season since then, but 2 years. Because it was early in the 22 season, essentially fall of 22, that we saw him was a game against the Bengals, right? Or no, it was actually a game against the Bills in which he was allowed to continue playing and it was described as a back injury. And then a few days later It was the game against the Bengals where we all saw him. It was a nationally televised game. It was a night game. And it was clear, you know, with the fencing position, as they call it, the rigor of the arms and the hands that were kind of clutched in that claw position or stuck in that claw position. I mean, we all watched that in horror with Tua Tagovailoa. He was out for a while. He got concussed again. I think it was on Christmas Day. So it was later in the year. And then he was done the rest of the way. So if you don't include the one that was termed a back injury, well, then you're talking about his third concussion in the span of 2 years. You include that one, which was a likely concussion as well. This is now four concussions, four head injuries in the span of 2 years. It could not have been worse. Again, it's bad enough that the Dolphins looked terrible last night. And it would even be bad enough if they'd lost Tua to some other kind of injury, like, say, a knee ligament. But this is worst case scenario. And even now I'm looking up at the broadcast on NFL Network. They've been replaying it all night. And right away, his right arm is extended up in the air. His hand is in a fist. Some doctors will tell you that's indicative of him losing consciousness in that moment. Now, thankfully, the medical staff, the athletic training staff, able to get out to him right away. And he did walk off the field under his own power. He was in the locker room after the game, and Mike McDaniel and others had a chance to speak to him.
I talked to him in the locker room. Obviously, I talked to him on the field, and then talked to him in the locker room before he was headed home. You know, he was in good spirits.
Mike McDaniel got really emotional about Tua's health and talking about Tua. He didn't have a lot of answers. He was asked about whether or not it was safe for Tua to play football. Obviously doesn't want to make that type of determination when he's not a medical professional, but you can hear him get really emotional about his quarterback.
It's more about, you know, getting a proper procedural evaluation tomorrow and taking it one day at a time. The furthest thing from my mind is, you know, what is the timeline? I want to know. We just need to evaluate and I'm just worried about my teammate and like the rest of the guys are. But we'll get more information tomorrow and then take it day by day from there.
You can't help but feel for him. He is a great football player, but he's an even greater human being. He's one of the best humans on the planet. I got a lot of love for him, and I'm just praying for him and his family and hoping everything's okay. It's tough, man. This game of football that we play, it's got its highs and it's got its lows, and that's definitely one of the lows.
Josh Allen on the Amazon Prime set following this game, and there were many other players in both locker rooms that were talking about Tua, worried about Tua. Again, this is worst case scenario for him given his recent history. And part of what the NFL has been about these last, say, 10 years or so, whether you believe that the league is genuine and that it actually walks the walk after talking the talk, there definitely have been upgrades in the helmets and the equipment and the way that concussions are diagnosed and the baseline, the concussion protocol, of course, the independent spotters, not that one was needed for Tua. And as I say, even now watching NFL Network, and he's walking off the field under his own power. He stops to greet a couple of guys on the sidelines before the staff walks him to the tunnel and into the locker room. He just looks woozy. He looks unsteady, though. Again, he's speaking to people and they're checking on him and he's able to communicate. But really, it's just as unfortunate that instead of sliding, he puts his head down as though he's going to run through DeMar Hamlin, as though, you know, picking up that half yard is so much more important. And I know, like, big picture and perspective, these guys are competitors and they desperately want to win and they're doing everything they possibly can, in this case, to try to rally from what was a 3-touchdown deficit. But he was already over or past the first down marker. They were into the red zone. They had a fresh set of downs. Just in retrospect, it was not necessary. It was foolish to try to go after that extra half a yard by lowering your head. You know, the rules are designed in the NFL now to give quarterbacks every protection. I mean, I've heard Tom Brady joke about the fact that the rules, I mean, I think he did this on the Fox broadcast on the first week that Dallas Cleveland game. He's joking about the fact that the rules were designed to protect him and that he was benefiting from the rules designed to protect quarterbacks. Even a guy as big as Josh Allen will slide so he doesn't take a direct hit. And it's so frustrating that Tua has done all this work to A, not take hits, learn and instinctively be better at getting rid of the football so that he's not taking a sack or taking a hit that isn't necessary, but also all the work he did, the training that he did coming out of that 22 season, so before they kicked off in 23, to be more durable, right? To be able to withstand some of these types of football plays. But also take advantage of the rules that are there to protect you. I wish he had gotten down. I know he didn't, and there's nothing. This is not his fault. It's part of the football. It's part of the football world. It's part of the game of football. It's part of what happens. There is a risk, of course. It's a violent game. It's just that in that particular case, he did not have to take a hit. DeMar, as I say, wasn't coming directly at him. And wasn't going full speed, kind of met him at the place where he was. And so I wish it had been avoided. Deion Dawkins, the longtime Bills offensive lineman, saying the same thing in his locker room.
It was the saddest thing. We're all just watching him run, and we're like, slide, bro, slide, bro, slide, bro, slide. And this game is so fast. It's a game of inches. You know, if he would have just slid just a little inch before, it's such a sad thing. My prayers, my heart goes out to Tua, his family, his parents, and I hope that he's going to recover well, because this is a violent game, and that shows it. And I know everybody in this locker room will be praying for him, you know, even though, like, we're enemies, but we're family. You know, like, we're all football players, and we're in this brotherhood together, and we all tip our hats to Tua, and we all will get on the knee and pray for Tua and his family. But it's a sad deal.
It definitely is a sad deal. I think that's pretty prevalent among NFL types, so coaches and players, staffers. If you see social media, all of them are posting in some way support for Tua. For Patrick Mahomes, it was a bunch of praying hands. You've got other guys like DeMar Hamlin, actually, who made the tackle, who, you know, himself was making sure that he shared his support. And you can imagine he understands exactly how that feels. Not that Tua was down for a long period of time, but that he has the entire spotlight, the national spotlight on him in this moment where he feels so helpless. So he posted, "My love and prayers with Tua for show, sending you strength and healing for a speedy recovery. Much love, broski." And I guess we can hope that it's not as bad as what it looked, but there's no way he avoided a concussion. We already know that he was ruled out with a concussion, which means, again, there's been three of them diagnosed in the last 3 years. And while the science is still spotty and there's still so much we don't know about how human brains respond under impact and long-term with concussions, and it's different for every person, there's no one-size-fits-all. What they do know, what the medical community does know and has confirmed over and over, is that the more concussions you have, the effects, potential long-term health issues, they become even more common and even more prevalent. And so one concussion, this is what I was taught when I was in sports, one concussion, you want to make sure that you take care of yourself, you make sure you're healthy before you put yourself back in the arena. Once you have two concussions, then the health issues, they become a lot more serious, and the long-term effects become compounded, if you will, and to the point where it's, you know, it's no longer just a concussion on its own. Right now you're dealing with the effects that that tend to become, they tend to pile up, right? So your brain never fully recovers after you have a couple of these head injuries. And so another one puts you even more at risk and can escalate the impact and the effects of these head injuries. We know going back, say, two decades ago, and I've spoken to former players about their time in the league where they would take a hard knock, they would call it, to the head. They would get smelling salts, or they would shake it off, or they would, you know, they'd take a minute and then they'd go right back in the game. Troy Aikman has, you know, spoken to me about the multiple concussions that he had when he was in the league and is so thankful he's not experiencing any effects of them right now, but talked about moments where they black out and then they're right back in the game. That is obviously not healthy, not safe, what the NFL is trying to avoid. And so to think about now potentially four concussions for Tua in such a short period of time is scary. It's scary. And his health is most important now. Certainly the larger question of what the Dolphins do moving forward, that's one that has to be dealt with as well. Those are questions I asked of Josh Moser, who is the Fox Sports director in Miami. He joined us actually leaving the stadium late last night, and so we'll bring back part of that conversation. But Skylar Thompson is the quarterback that went in to replace Tua late third quarter.
It sucks. You know, in my position, you never want to have your opportunity come with something like that, you know, and have a lot of love for Tua, built a great relationship with him. And, yeah, you know, you care about the person more than the player. And, you know, everybody in the organization would say the same thing. And so just really, you know, praying for Tua and, you know, hopefully everything will come out all right.
This is, as I say, a loss for the Dolphins. It would have been bad enough because they were embarrassed by the Bills. And we'll hear a little more about the Bills side of it. The defense for Buffalo was terrific last night. But it becomes so much worse losing to it and then to a head injury, which is so completely unknown. We didn't know how he would be when he came back after those concussions in 22. But remember last year, everything that the Dolphins did on offense was predicated on Tua getting rid of the ball quickly. They leaned so heavily on their running back core. Raheem Mostert had a historic season with 21 touchdowns. They had other guys that were carrying the ball, and that was really the primary way that they were protecting Tua. But not just that. I mean, he was getting rid of the ball so quickly. He had taken the necessary steps to have those instincts where he would get rid of the football. And so this is not, it's not what he wanted to do. It's the exact opposite of what he had been training and preparing to do to withstand the rigors and the risks of an NFL season as a quarterback. So yeah, it definitely sucks. I would echo Skylar Thompson. Love to hear from you online at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. We'll hear a little bit from Josh Moser, who was in the Dolphins locker room after this happened, as well as more about the Buffalo Bills. And we've got our After Hours Game of the Week poll that's up. You can find it on either of our social media sites. Happy Friday to you. Good morning. You got just a few hours left until the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Gun with Wilson to his right, takes the snap, back to pass, looking over the middle, pressure coming, has to heave it, and it's intercepted, coming the other way, and going for six is Jamarcus Ingram, a 30-yard interception return for a touchdown. Tua's third pick of the night goes pick six.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What a night for Jamarcus Ingram, who has not just the interception on the opening drive, but also a pick six in the third quarter that capped the scoring, actually. But the major storyline coming from later in the third quarter when Tua receives another concussion diagnosis and is out for the game, and we wait on Friday. Mike McDaniel is expected to address the media sometime Friday morning, maybe post more testing for Tua. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We caught up with Josh Moser in the wake of this Thursday night football game, sports broadcaster and sports director for the Fox affiliate in Miami. I want to make sure I get his title right. And I asked him about the locker room because we knew Tua had been in there and wanted to know what he saw.
So Tua's family joined him in the locker room, and they left before the media was allowed in. Obviously, you know, his teammates really feeling for him with so much that he's been through in the last two seasons, specifically with concussions. He was able to play in all 17 games last year. Then the team awarded him with a huge contract, $167 million guaranteed. But in 2022, we saw him also on a Thursday night game in Cincinnati. And Amy, I believe we actually spoke then when we saw Tua's fingers go into the fencing position near midfield against the Bengals.
Mm.
We saw the same thing here tonight. So we now know that, you know, this is three official diagnosed concussions and most likely four. The fourth one would have been in week three against the Bills, also in 2022, when we saw Tua kind of stumble. The team officially said that it was a back injury, but we know the Bengals one that we saw, then the end of the season in 2022 against the Packers, that kept him out of the playoff game where the Dolphins lost the Bills, and then again tonight, but just a very somber locker room, obviously, for Tua. Obviously, the way they played against the Bills in a game that they were favored to win. And I believe it is now 12 out of last 13 meetings that Buffalo has beaten Miami.
When it comes to Tua, as you point out, he's got a history of this. What did we hear from Mike McDaniel about what happens now?
No official timetable. Mike, you know, is very close to Tua. He's probably closest to Tua more so than anyone else on the team. The two of them, you know, both got their contract extended this offseason right before the season started, and they're essentially tied to each other, and you know, they're like his big brother. You can see Mike McDaniel on the sideline holding back tears. You can see him very emotional in post-game press conference, but no official timetable at the moment. And obviously, because of the history and the numerous concussions that Tua had, I think that's what makes this really tricky. And then just peeking around for media reaction on social media, I saw Des Bryant, Shannon Sharp, Chase Daniels, you know, longtime quarterback in the league. They were saying you should seriously consider about retiring. Tua's got two little kids. He was just married.
Oh.
And, you know, you feel for him, you know, as a person from a medical standpoint. I'm not a doctor, but, I mean, realistically, we're looking at four of these in a very short amount of time. And, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, you're good not only to play a football game, but you're good to play catch with your kids and be a dad. And, you know, Tua's so young. I mean, we forget, you know, we know these people as, you know, players on our fantasy football teams or, you know, just a name and a number. Yeah, I mean, it's got families, and the human element of this is really, really scary for a lot of people involved. And you could really feel that in the locker room. You could feel it in the arena when Tua went down. Everybody took a knee immediately. The Hard Rock City went dead silent. It's really kind of jarring because you saw all the work that Tua put in this offseason and how much he's progressed. You know, as a football player and as a person, when you talk to him and when you see him daily and how joyous he is. And, you know, this was supposed to be the season for the Dolphins. And here we have week one, Tyreek Hill getting detained basically on the doorstep of Hard Rock Stadium. And then here we have week two, unfortunately, sustaining a concussion. So not a good start for the Dolphins. The team will say this is a lot of adversity here to begin the 2024 season.
Right. What a tumultuous week going back to last Sunday and now culminating with this game. So if you wouldn't mind elaborating what happened on the field as he took the hit, and then also around you in the press box.
So on the field, immediately you knew something was wrong, and the players called over, and then everyone just kind of gasped. Where the press box is closed, it's not open air like it is in some stadiums, but the press box immediately went silent. You could see the stadium go silent. You could see people throwing their hands over their face saying, oh my God, oh no. The players immediately going to knees. And you could hear a pin drop. This team had playoff aspirations, and obviously Tua would be the guy to take them there. And then, you know, obviously the staff that we sit next to, I guess you could call it the front office, if you will, general manager Chris Greer. You have the communication staff that's in charge of all the PR. You know, they're sitting right next to us, and you could just feel their hearts sinking. I mean, we knew immediately. And then you see everybody running out with the board, the EMTs, the medical personnel, and, you know, luckily, Tua was able to walk off the field. I think that's the biggest saving grace out of all of this. He was able to walk off under his own accord, which is a big deal. Mike McDaniel kissed him on the head as he was walking off This is a very, very tight-knit locker room. You know, you lose a quarterback, especially a $200 million quarterback, it changes things. It really does.
Josh Moser is with us from Miami in the wake of Thursday night football and a drastic turn in the second half as Tua sustains a concussion and will get checked out on Friday. That's really all we know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What's the plan without Tua, Josh?
Skylar Thompson will be the backup for everyone that remembers his rookie year in 2021. Skylar played against the Bills in Buffalo in a playoff game and almost beat him. Skylar Thompson also beat out Mike White for the backup job. A year ago, Mike White was paid on a two-year deal for $8 million, which at the time was the highest for a backup quarterback that offseason cycle, and they decided to roll with Skylar, the seventh-round pick out of Kansas State. So Mike McDaniel said he had the utmost confidence in him. He said that, you know, he's grown so much since that playoff game that he was in his rookie year, and they're going to roll with him. Obviously, they're going to need to bring in another quarterback. Tim Boyle is the team's emergency quarterback. He was added to the practice squad after cuts. I covered him when he was in Green Bay, backing up Aaron Rodgers. He's played in Detroit. He's also played on the Jets. So he's got a little bit of experience, but not a whole lot. So I wouldn't be surprised if they add another quarterback again. We don't know how long Tua will be out and when he'll be back or even if he'll play again. So right now it's Skylar Thompson and the rest is to be determined.
So this is crazy, but I saw this online from one football analyst. The idea of Jimmy Garoppolo, considering that he played in a system in which Mike McDaniel was the OC in San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything is on the table right now. I think, you know, if you're able to take a step back for a minute and realize the type of team that you still have without Tua, you have a lot of pieces here. I wouldn't say that the season is completely lost as it sits right now, so that would be something to consider potentially. I know Ryan Tannehill said that he's been wanting to join a contender. He obviously has history here in Green Bay. I know that Tom Brady's in the broadcast booth, but he lives here in Miami. I think that would be more of a media storyline versus, you know, actual reality. We'll see with Jimmy Garoppolo. I know that the people that I'm very close to in Oakland, specifically, you know, a few of their receivers, you know, it just didn't really work there with Josh McDaniels. So sometimes you get a bad opportunity. Obviously, he played very well with the 49ers, has a history with Mike McDaniel. But everything's on the table for this team. Luckily, they've got roughly 10 days off before they have to head to Seattle in their first road contest of the season.
Josh Moser from Miami, sports director and anchor at the Fox affiliate there on TV. Yeah, just a lot of doom and gloom, as he says. And there's no way Tom Brady is coming out of retirement, so you can stick a pin in that balloon. I'm trying to think of, I mean, Ryan Tannehill, I guess. It's just that he was with the Dolphins such a long time ago. It's nothing's the same now. Jimmy Garoppolo to me is intriguing, but is he ready to play? No idea. Maybe having worked with Mike McDaniel in the past, McDaniel would be running the other direction. Although he was a winner with the Niners, but just it's hard to think about him too. How quickly his career just went, what a mess. Anyway, it's life comes at you fast in the NFL, and it's a challenge now that the Dolphins are potentially facing for the rest of the season, although I hope it's not that way. I just, for the sake of Tua and his health long term, I don't know how they could think about bringing him back anytime soon. By the way, the game is re-airing on NFL Network, and they're into the fourth quarter, and every time they show Mike McDaniel, his face, it's clear he's really emotional, or he was, maybe even some tears on the field, but just his face. He's shell-shocked over what happened. I mean, it just puts it in perspective, right? You're willing to take a loss if Tua is still healthy, and he's still upright, and doesn't have to go through this again. That's nothing compared to, you know, his health now. The loss doesn't even matter, seemingly, in that regard. We got a few more NFL tidbits as we head to up toward the top of the hour. We've already previewed a couple of the options for Game of the Week, like the Bucks and the Lions. Oh, watch out for those sneaky Bucks. The Bengals and the Chiefs. How about the Saints and Cowboys? That was my vote. Don't ask me why. I just like to be different. The Steelers are taking on the Broncos. This was supposed to be a Russell Wilson revenge game. But there are others as well that we want to highlight. Kirk Cousins, he's going to keep protesting about his Achilles. I don't know what. I'm fine. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
We kick off with Thursday Night Football. The Bills beat the Dolphins 31-10. Bills running back James Cook with two touchdown runs and a touchdown catch. Josh Allen threw for 139 yards and a touchdown. For the Dolphins, a scary moment in the third quarter.
Tua out of the shotgun, back to throw, looking. Pressure, he's going to run with it at the 8-yard line.
Got it.
Puts his head down and gets bounced down at the 6. And he looks dinged, Joe.
Oh, boy. Boy, this is not good.
No, it's not.
Jimmy Cephalo and Joe Rose on Dolphins radio. Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa left the game in the third quarter with a concussion. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel on his initial thoughts when Tua went down.
My thought was concern, and I was just worried about my guy. So, not something that you ever want to be a part of. You know, you hope not to.
Skylar Thompson came in to replace Tagovailoa. Now to baseball, and we'll start in Cleveland.
He's squaring early. They're charging. He pulls the bat back and grounds it through the middle into center for a base hit. Rounding third and coming home, the pinch runner walls. He scores. The Rays execute to perfection, and they've got a 4-2 lead in the eighth. What a job by Caballero.
The call on Rays radio. Rays beat the Guardians 5-2. Elsewhere, the Brewers over the Giants 3-0. Frankie Montas, 6 innings, no runs, 2 hits, 8 strikeouts. It was the Rangers with a 3-run eighth. They beat the Mariners 5-4. In 10, the Yankees beat the Red Sox 2-1. Juan Soto with a walk-off RBI single in the bottom of the 10th. Rockies over the Tigers 4-2. Marlins beat the Nationals 6-3. Cardinals 6, Reds 1. And the Astros with a 4-run eighth beat the A's 6-3. WNBA, New York over Dallas 99-67. College football, Arizona State beat Texas State 31-28. South Alabama over Northwestern State 87-10. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Bill's going to go 3 receivers to the left. Shakir, Hollins, and Samuel. And now Cook comes in motion and now retreats to the right of Allen. The shotgun. Here comes Samuel left to right. And now in an orbit motion back to the left. Back to pass. Allen wide open to Cook in the left flat. Racing to the end zone. And is he in? Yes, he is. The Cook has found the kitchen on a 17-yard touchdown reception. Here's the snap. Handoff goes to Cook and a work through the middle. Through a hole and into the secondary. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5. Flips into the end zone for the touchdown. 49 yards for James Cook. His third touchdown of the game. And it is a raucous celebration on the Buffalo sideline. Oh, my.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Huge night for James Cook and a huge night for the Buffalo Bills defense because with the 3 takeaways, Bills are able to score 17 points off turnovers and all 3 of the touchdowns for Cook coming in that first half. It went from bad to worse for the Dolphins, but this is a victory for the Bills and a statement as they continue to own the AFC East going back to 2020. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Cook with a 49-yard rushing TD right after a fourth down stop by the Bills defense. Also had the pass that he caught in which he went 17 yards for the touchdown earlier in the game. I mean, what more can you ask for in terms of sharing that heavy load with Josh Allen?
Awesome. Hat trick. He's been working hard. You know, each year he's gotten better. Seems like each week he's getting more comfortable and confident. He's been begging for some goal line runs, and we gave it to him. And he got his touchdown down there, the long one. And then he found a way on that the first touchdown in the first quarter there. So can't be more happier for him and more proud of him. And, you know, he just continues to make plays for us.
Just the preparation that happened over the week, you know, just a quick turnaround, got my body together and just prepared myself. And good things happened today.
If you have a quick turnaround like the Bills did after their week one, which was a rally past the Cardinals, and then you have to go on the road for a short work week and a divisional game, you've got to be thrilled if you're the Buffalo Bills to be able to sit now 2-0 and have kind of this mini bye moving forward. There are obviously some critical games coming up this weekend, including inside the AFC. And so I'm excited to see how we get some of our questions answered going forward through Sunday and then on into Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. I see now that the Bucks Lions has pulled into the lead for After Hours game of the week.
As it should.
As you think it should?
Yes.
Over Bengals Chiefs.
Yes, I think the Bengals are going to have a little bit of a rough patch here going to start.
This is kind of their MO, though. Since Joe Burrow came in, they really stink in the month of September.
I think people realize that.
Well, I should have realized that before I picked them week one on Survivor Island. What a dummy I am. And do you remember how many times I said, I don't feel good about this. I should go back and change it. I don't feel good about this.
Right. And as I say that, and as I make my pick, I pick the Bengals as well. So we're both on Survivor
Island. Oh, all right. It's because neither one of us wanted to be encumbered, burdened with Survivor Island moving forward.
That's right.
Okay. So we'll check on those standings after week number two. But there are a couple of teams that won in the openers that you think maybe could have more of a reality check in week number two. Like the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll see, but they're in a situation where they feel like Justin Fields is a good option. And according to Mike Tomlin, both these guys could have been named the starter. They went with Russell Wilson only to find out that he was dealing with a calf injury still.
I feel like I'm getting closer and closer. You know, I'm just trying to be smart and, you know, got to do a lot of work today, you know, on the field and everything else thrown and all that. So just trying to be smart.
Now, the Steelers head into Denver, where the Broncos also have a rookie quarterback. Well, I shouldn't say also. They have a rookie quarterback, a first-year guy is what I should have said, because Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, both in their first years with the Steelers. And last week, Pittsburgh had 6 field goals. Yay, Chris Boswell. He crushed it. The defense was terrific, but 6 field goals against the Atlanta Falcons. So there will be no Russ this week, and that means he won't have the, would you call it a revenge game against Sean Payton and the Broncos?
I think every game matters. Every game counts.
Every
game you want to be able to play in.
It's no fun.
And so I'm just trying to get ready to go and rock and roll. And, you know, obviously, you know, I think it's a big game for us because it's the next game.
Mm. So can the Steelers come away with this game and be 2-0? And that's kind of a rough way to start out, right? Against the Falcons on the road, but then also against the Broncos, which I know Denver's not been great for almost a decade, for heaven's sakes. But they do have generally a home field advantage. It's tough to place to play there because the fans get pretty fired up until later in the season when they realize once again the Broncos are not going to have a winning record or go to the Super Bowl. So can the Steelers generate any offense in Denver? That's a big question. Cincinnati, Kansas City, we talked about. Looking forward to the Bears and the Texans. That's your Sunday night game on NBC. It's because we've got so many storylines coming out of that game. The way that the Bears special teams and defense played in week one, giving Caleb Williams kind of a reprieve, a soft place to land. But we know what the Texans are capable of, and they've only gotten better in the last few months since CJ Stroud was a rookie. Also, the Green Bay game, their home opener against the Colts. Anthony Richardson looked terrific last weekend, and so the Packers defense is going to be really important for them at Lambeau Field. They'll have that crowd behind them. What an incredible atmosphere. Had the benefit of being there for a home game a couple of years ago, and it was exceeding my expectations to be there, especially when I was down on the field as they were bringing back the Hall of Famers, and gosh, what an atmosphere, an electricity, but also just a family. It's weird to say, but Green Bay kind of closes the ranks, and Lambeau Field is like that. It feels like you're part of one big, ginormous family. But they will not have Jordan Love. Instead, well, I guess they haven't closed the door yet, but they're likely not to have Jordan Love. I think they're maybe just keeping their cards close to the vest, but it's probably going to be Malik Willis. He's been a Packer for all of 3 weeks or something along those lines. So, some major storylines. While we're talking about, mentioned the Falcons just a minute ago, there's been so much chatter about Kirk Cousins and whether or not his Achilles has not fully repaired and if he's not ready to go yet, and he just keeps pushing back.
I feel good. If I don't know what he was seeing, but whatever it was wasn't my Achilles. It could have been just trying to get the laces or trying to whatever it may be. But, no, the Achilles feels good. And, you know, feel like I can move and push as I normally would.
He says it's not limiting his mobility. Now, he tore it in week 8 of last season. So, Aaron Rodgers, eat your heart out because he is back so quickly. He said that what happened with the offense last week, oh, my gosh, it was brutal. Again, credit the Steelers defense. But what happened with the offense last week when they had 19 passing yards in the second half? 19 passing yards in the second half. That's crazy. He said it was just more about the rust, right? It was more about the fact that he hadn't played in a while and finding a rhythm. And also, it's new. Raheem Morris, new head coach. So that'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to Sunday's NFL slate plus the Monday night game. We'll have more time to talk about that. So again, what's your choice for After Hours Game of the Week at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page? Now we have college between now and then. A lot of people excited about the Alabama trip to Wisconsin. So that taking place at Camp Randall Stadium. And it is a noon Eastern time kick, but Central time, which is where both those schools are located, 11 a.m. Get up, get ready, let's go. While I'm wrapping up, did you see the story? This comes from college football as well. Some dude who is suspected of a hit and run in Colorado, he was apparently trying to escape authorities, and somehow he ends up on Folsom Field. He drives his pickup out onto Colorado's football field. Of course, they weren't playing at the time, but they received a call. In fact, he may have hit more than one other vehicle. The same blue pickup. They had a bunch of calls about how there were these hit and run incidents. A guy in a blue pickup was driving away after slamming into various objects, trees, a car, nearly a witness. And then not long after that, this blue pickup, they think it's the same one, is in the middle of Folsom Field. And I saw this. The still photos, Pete, are hysterical because I'm going to assume the guy wasn't completely sober considering all the things that he allegedly hit. He's out of his truck on the middle of the football field, arms raised in the air like he's just scored a field goal or a touchdown, shirtless. So, yeah, I'm going to assume that he wasn't in full possession of his senses. 48 years old. No one was injured, thankfully, but he's out there celebrating like he just won the Super Bowl. All right, we're back on Sunday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Boom!